Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Little change in your starting lineup, swapping one big sports guy for another big sports guy. Jeff Blair fills in for Bob McCowan. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Nobody's answering me. It's Primetime Sports for Thursday. It's still Thursday. It's still August 27th. The Blue Jays are still in first place. Everybody relax.
Oh, I just remember it's one of my buddy's birthdays today.
Say happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dave Gelblum.
There you go. It's also the, as Dave Perkins reminded us, the 28th anniversary of the day that Toby Hara, 28th, 18th, 38th. Do the math. 27, carry the one. 38th anniversary of the day that Toby Hara and Bump Wills hit back-to-back inside the park homers at Yankee Stadium. Of course, the Rangers hitting inside the parker today, the big blow, and beating the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'm going to say this because you may not have heard this if you were watching the game, but Perkins said this just as the ball was going past Jose towards a warning track. He looked at me and said, you know, 1977, the Texas Rangers hit back-to-back inside the park home runs at Yankee Stadium today. So he just pulled it out like that.
That's Raymond Babbitt Rain Man. That's what that is.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
We're going to be joined, by the way, by Mike Wilner in a few minutes once he gets over here from the other studio. Correctamundo? He's in the other studio. So Wilner will join us, and we'll chit-chat about the loss today.
Small breaking story from John Heyman of CBSSports.com saying that Barry Bonds has lost his collusion case against Major League Baseball.
Has lost his collusion case against Major League Baseball.
Okay. The arbitrator ruled in favor of baseball in the case in which Bonds claimed he couldn't get a playing job following the 2007 season due to a concerted effort by Major League Baseball to keep him out of the game. The ruling, made within the last few days, came in the form of a written opinion. The case was heard back in May. So Bonds, I guess, was suing for collusion. And the reason he would do that, for many of you who are mine and Jeff's age, is that in the 80s, a number of baseball players sued under collusion and won.
And won and got mucho money.
Like Andre Dawson, Jack Morris,
Tim Raines.
So Barry Bonds tried it and he lost.
Yeah, I think Morris, I wonder if Morris is one of the guys that, he might have been the guys that really made out on it. But yeah, he...
Dawson did pretty well,
Dawson did too.
Yep.
And that is a rare, that's a rare court setback, to be quite honest, for Barry Bonds, because he's been in a bit of a legal role lately in terms of some of the legal action that's been taken against him. So yeah, it's going to be... Someone asked me this the other day. Mark McGwire is now back in baseball. He's been a hitting coach with St. Louis, and he's now back with the Dodgers. Someone asked me the other day if they thought I could ever see Barry Bonds getting back into the game, getting back into coaching, as he's apparently said to people that he wants to do. And I just, I think the difference between Bonds and McGwire is... McGwire basically disappeared from public view for a while.
He also ate it.
And he wasn't as litigious. Is that the word?
Well, he, you know what?
As Bonds.
People liked McGwire. They did not like Bonds. I think that's what it came down to. Now, I will tell you, I remember when, do you remember when St. Louis came to Toronto for a couple of exhibition games? At the old Sky Dome, now Rogers Center. It must have been around 2001, 2002, something around, 99, 2000, something, like just after he'd hit the 70 home runs. And actually, I remember when it was. It was 98. It was because Canseco was playing for the Jays, and McGwire was playing for the Cardinals. So the obvious piece was, let's do something on the Bash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And Canseco was still in his thing about, okay, I'm new here. I've got to make a good impression. So he waxed poetic about how great life was with the Bash Brothers and how much fun he had and how much he loved Mark McGwire. And McGwire, we walk up to him, like there's like 20 of us. He's like, why does everybody want to talk about the past? And there goes that feature. But, you know, publicly, he was the guy who, without admitting it, basically admitted he took steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And people really liked him.
Yeah, it's... Well, Bonds is never... Barry Bonds is never going to be... He's never going to be liked by people outside of San Francisco. He's just not. There's no smoothening over some of the rough edges. I mean, I have to tell you, I honestly think that Alex Rodriguez is probably going to be viewed more positively than Barry Bonds
because of this season.
Because of this season, yeah. And because of the fact that he's a rare guy. In some ways, he's doing the same thing that Giambi did. I was going to say Andy Pettit, but that's not right. He's rehabilitating his career, rehabilitating his reputation a bit by continuing to play. A lot of these guys have rehabilitated their reputation out of the game. But Bonds, boy, he still remains kind of the third rail for a lot of people, you know? The guy you just don't want to touch. And it's a shame because I can tell you, I've spoken to guys who played with him as a teammate, and they'll tell you that
he was smart, right?
Oh,
yeah, very smart.
You want to talk about hitting with Barry Bonds? He is smart. He can remember pitches that were thrown to him 8 years ago. He would make a great hitting instructor.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be, I think I'm reading in a couple places that now apparently the Giants have sort of quietly made plans to retire his number.
They should.
But we'll see where that ends up going. But as Elliot just reported, Barry Bonds losing his collusion hearing with Major League Baseball, against Major League Baseball, which is kind of odd because when I looked at that at face value, I thought he probably has a pretty damn good case. He just set the career home run record. See ya.
And he still was a pretty good hitter.
Yeah, don't come back.
I remember, I think J.P. Ricciardi was still the GM of the Jays back then.
Mm-hmm.
And people were asking, are you guys going to sign Barry Bonds or take a run at him? And he just looked exasperated at the question. He's like, no, come on, next question. By the way, you talked about McGwire.
Yep.
Apparently, there's a pretty funny moment last week at Dodger Stadium. I guess a few of the Kings went there for batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
And Alec Martinez, the defenseman, wrote on Twitter that one of the players went up to Mark McGwire and asked him if he'd ever played in Busch Stadium.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
No.
Did he say which player?
Yeah, Tyler Toffoli. And they were all howling about it.
Well, there's a certain former employee of this station who found himself in the locker room as a minor league player and sitting across from Tony Gwynn Jr. and said, hey, Junior, did your dad play?
I still can't believe that story is true.
Oh, I want it to be so true anyhow. We'll leave it at that. Jays 4-1 losers. 4-1 losers to the Texas Rangers today on an inside the park home run, the big blow. Marco Estrada, pretty good today. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run.
Yep.
6 strikeouts, 3 walks. Liam Hendricks, not so good. 6 hits in an inning's work. He was on the hook for 3 of the runs.
Now, do you think those runs should be unearned? I do.
Yeah. You know what? I'd never...
Look, Bautista made an error. It happens.
Here's why I'm...
Those runs should be unearned.
Here's why I'm uncomfortable talking about earned runs and under-earned runs. And it's not a means of skirting around. It's just the runs. Guys crossed the plate. They scored. I understand why we have earned runs and unearned runs, but I never get involved in arguments about that
Here's the way I look at it. Liam Hendricks is a guy trying to make a career, right?
Mm-hmm. But you can't take that into consideration.
You know, I think in a sport where numbers get crunched as much as baseballs do,
okay.
I think it can make a difference.
Well, a lot of it depends on the reading of the situation. Now, I'm seeing here that they did charge Batista with an error.
Okay, right? Well, then there you go.
Or is that, we'll ask Wilner about that, because I'm seeing on the box score, E. Batista, 3 fielding. I don't know if that was in the, anyhow, we'll find out when Wilner comes in. The Jays 4-1 loser, pretty good road trip, though. I think they'll take that.
6-2.
I think 6-2 at this time of the year. They've pretty much stuck a fork in the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They got a lot of help from the Houston Astros the past couple of nights, past couple of days, or at least one night and one day in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're here. They're back home, or they'll be back home. They'll face the Detroit Tigers in the 3-game series and then Cleveland. Should be a pretty good chance right now to pad things a bit, I would think, if you're the Blue Jays.
You know, the whole thing that happened, did you see that what happened with the Yankees and Carlos Gomez the other night?
Yeah, it was great.
Now, did you not think the Yankees, like Girardi, totally overreacted?
Totally. First of all, I mean, Girardi wasn't...
And he's wound tight to begin
with. But Girardi wasn't the guy yelling at... It came out that Girardi wasn't the guy yelling at Gomez.
Right.
Gomez thought it was Girardi, but it wasn't. But in terms of...
His quotes, I meant. Like, his quotes. Like,
yeah, I thought,
don't flip
I thought
your
it was.
Bat when you're winning 15 to
I thought
nothing.
It was. I mean, we had
or be disgusted when you're winning 15 to nothing.
Kevin Barker played with Gomez. Well, he played with everybody in winter ball at one point. We know that. But he was making the point that Gomez plays the game with an edge and a bit of a swagger. And he also made the point that I heard a lot of other, and I was a little surprised. I heard a lot of other old school baseball people make that point. Greg's on one of them. You know what? You're losing 9-0. Shut up.
Well,
you shouldn't be saying anything. Just shut up.
I agree with that 100%. But if you're an elite player, it doesn't matter if the score is 3-2 or the score is 15-0. If you're getting a pitch that you should clobber and you miss on it, mm-hmm. you're going to be mad at yourself.
See, I had a problem. Okay, we're showing in a TV. The slide into second base was showboating. But, I mean, to me, the pop-up where he throws his bat, that's not a guy trying to show anybody up. That's
himself.
A guy who's mad that he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, he got a pitch that he thought he could hit, and he popped it up.
Like, and like I said, if it's 3-2 or 15-0, if you miss a pitch, you should clobber.
Yeah.
If you're the elite of the elite, you're mad at yourself.
Yeah, it.
Then he hit a 3-run homer.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah, that was the best thing. But you know, look, I mean, one of the reasons I think a lot of people like the Astros is the Astros do have a bit of a swagger right now. They look like they're a team that's fully comfortable being in the lead. We have a Mike Wilner sighting. Are we going to bring Wilner in?
By the way, did you hear the great Gomez story after he signed his huge contract?
No, what did he do?
He Googled what do rich people talk about.
Did he really?
Yeah, so it's a great story about him in Milwaukee. It was fantastic. So he started bringing up strange conversation topics to his teammates.
Yeah.
And they're like, where is this coming from? Like, Carlos, what are you talking about?
Right.
And he says, well, when I signed my big deal, I Googled what do rich people talk about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Here's Mike Wilner.
Hey, Wilner.
Hello, boys. What's with the applause?
No, it's nice to see you. I'm happy to see you. What? I can't be happy to see you?
I'm happy to see you.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. But I'm happy to see Ellie.
I'm happy to see you too, Wilner. Me too. My feelings mutual. And I'm looking forward to my Twitter line getting filled up with Bob must not be working tonight because Wilner's on primetime.
It's already started, as a matter of fact.
I haven't seen it yet for me, but...
So what do you do when you... No angry callers, right?
Well, I didn't have Jay's talk today.
Yeah, so what do you... Like, do you just yell at yourself? On the way over here to feel...
There were people who passed me in the hallway who abused me on the way here to complain about the...
So Nelson was in the hallway? Yeah. You passed Nelson and...
Saw Sid. I saw a bunch of people, yeah.
I just thought that maybe you'd go in a room and just scream.
Well, when I walked in, I don't know if you saw when I walked in here, but as a party and Dylan and Matt were all yelling at me for Jose Bautista overrunning that ground ball and for John Gibbons going to Liam Hendricks, so... You know, that was my Jay's talk.
Yeah, and you're responsible. That's the way it is.
Like, that's the way it works.
Bautista overrunning that ball and Gibbons going to Hendricks is your fault. And by the way, as a couple of tweeters have pointed out to me, Jeff and I were on the air when that error happened. And as the reasons the runs were earned, and very legitimately so, was because there were hits after.
Yeah, a lot of
scored. All right.
Yeah, so.
The truth
I appreciate the two tweeters who there sent that go. To me because Thank we you. Were watching the game and couldn't yes. see it.
Oh, okay, yeah. The way it works, and you guys know watching, this, is the official scorer has to rebuild the inning without the errors after. And even though the error results in the creation of a new space-time continuum, and those hits may not have followed had the error not been made.
It's the theory of the predestined hit.
Yeah, the official score is not allowed to think of things that way.
I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, the runs. They're runs.
Yeah, they're runs.
The runs they lost.
They lost. Look, Liam Hendricks gave up 6 hits today. A lot of them were cheesy little ground balls. Liam Hendricks had given up 5 hits since the All-Star break.
It's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's
going to happen.
Is his dad still on the trip?
His dad was there watching.
Oh, that's
poor
tough,
guy.
Yeah, that's always the toughest. Because the parents, they suffer the most. It's like there's two things you always worry about with parents of athletes. Number one, they suffer more than their kids do when their kids are.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, when you say something on television that's negative about the kid, how are they warping it so the kid gets angry at you?
Even if it's not negative, if it's just not super positive.
That's right. How are they warping it so it causes a problem?
That's why the first whenever an athlete says something to me, I can't believe you said this. I said, A, who'd you hear it from? And what did they tell you I said?
The number one question is, did you hear this directly or did somebody tell you?
Yeah.
And you always know, parents, it's 5 points bad. Wife, it's 700 points bad.
So Mr. Wilner, 6-2 road trip, we'll take
That's all right, no?
I think so.
I remember listening.
I was a little wrong in my forecast. I said Tulowitzki would get 3 hits and a home run today. I figured he'd just tee off on Gallardo because he usually
history
does.
There, yeah,
he got great history.
I remember listening before the trip, listening to you on Baseball Central with Barker. I think it was you, and Barker said they'll go 6-2. They might even go 7-1. This is what they're And I'm thinking, wow, that's getting a little greedy. No, three cities, 3 time zones. Playoff teams in Anaheim and Texas, and there they go. They did it, 6-2. They averaged 10 runs a game over those 5 games in the middle. This was a fantastic road trip with a crappy finish.
Jerry actually made the point. I didn't realize it was the first time in 38 games they'd been shut out going into the 6th inning.
And probably the last time it happened was the last time Gallardo pitched against them.
It was like
probably
June 10th or something like that?
No,
something.
There was a shutout the last week of June.
Okay.
Just before Canada Day, I want to say they got shut out by the Rangers.
Okay. It was 38 games.
Yeah.
I will take a look.
Well, it was 38 games. Then it's August.
It's
early July.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't have to look, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. No.
It's early July.
I think it was
38. I didn't realize that. That's an impressive stat, too.
It's been an incredible baseball team. I mean, they've outscored the next highest scoring team by 100 runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing, too, is I was looking at it today. You know, with teams like this that are big hitters, you expect a lot of strikeouts. What are they like the 6th fewest strikeouts in the American League?
I don't know. I'll take your word for that.
Something like that.
They're big hitters, but they're all good hitters, which is why, every time people say, oh, they're home run or nothing, well, no, they're not. These guys get on base. They get hits. Even the only guy who's home run or nothing is Justin Smoke on the team. Everybody else has pop, but knows what they're doing up there.
And it's kind of remarkable, too. I didn't recognize this or didn't realize this till today, but Ryan Goins had a good game today. Ryan Goins is having a good offensive month in August.
It's like an on-base over 400.
400. He's got six. Did he walk today? He had 16 walks coming.
Walked today, got a big hit off a lefty.
So he had 17 walks. That's 4 more than he had for the first 3 months of the season.
I think he had 5 last year. Mm-hmm. Last
5
year.
Walks the whole
five
year.
5 walks a whole year?
Yeah. He wasn't up all year, but I think he had 5 walks last season.
And so that's really all.
Something's going on with his strike zone recognition, and whatever it is, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Revere's coming on, too.
Yeah. Revere's a great hitter.
Yeah, but you know,
for what he is.
But I think, you know what, we all talked about how the National League change is affecting Tulowitzki. We kind of lost Revere in that, too, and he's coming. He even said it was bigger than he realized.
Yeah, I guess when you're seeing all these unfamiliar pitchers and, getting used to a new uniform and a new situation and all that, compounded by the fact that you're in a new league. But Ben Revere did not make a good first impression on Blue Jays fans, and hopefully they've come around to him now.
Yeah, I think the problem with Ben Revere is people saw all the hit totals and he got off to a slow start here. He didn't get a lot of hard hit balls, although I think even John Gibbons pointed out, you don't really like to play this game, but he made the point, he had a lot of balls in, and the old artificial turf would have skipped through into the corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, the turf monster seemed to bite him particularly hard here.
Well, but that's his game.
But that is his game, yeah.
There aren't a lot of hard hit balls because Ben Revere is a slap hitter.
Yeah.
He's as Punch and Judy as it gets. You know, he flew out into the gap in right center at Rogers Center that last homestand, and I thought, it's about as hard as he can hit a baseball. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 home runs in his major league career.
Are you guys expecting anything by Monday?
Hoping. I'm not expecting, but I'm hoping.
I don't know. The last time I quote-unquote spoke to anybody about anything, I was under the impression that maybe an outfielder was in play, but yeah. Are you hearing that? That's the last thing I heard, and I have to admit I haven't texted or emailed anybody about it.
I think they want a better fourth outfielder
yeah.
than Ezekiel Carrera, and mm-hmm. I think they're working to try to do that.
Yeah, and I don't know about Dalton Pompey. I don't.
He's coming up on September 1st, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could be on the playoff roster if they want, but I think they want to be better.
Are they bringing Ramon Fields up? Do we know that?
I don't know. I don't think.
Ramon or Ramon?
I think it's Ramon.
Better learn by Tuesday.
No, he's this guy.
He's Terrence Gore. He's the Gerard Dyson for a new era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love him. And I've had a couple of conversations with a couple of people about him, and they haven't told me yes or no, but it hasn't been as excited as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, earlier in the year, in spring training, I remember the Jays brought him over to play, yeah. and I was standing in the corner, and it was Mike Barnett, who's one of their minor league hitting coaches, and I can't remember, it was Tony LeCav or somebody in the corner by the clubhouse watching this, and I asked them about him, and they kind of winked and said, yeah, that it could be our Terrence Gore.
You need a Dave Roberts stolen base. Fields is your guy.
Yeah, and you can... in September, you can bring everybody up for the most part if you want.
Yep.
There's really no, there's really no limitation placing it that way. But yeah, my the last time I spoke to anybody about anything, my understanding was the Jays were looking for a better fourth outfielder.
I think that's fair. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the ad we saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the pitching is, I think the pitching is more or less settled right now. I can't imagine they would add anything.
I would love to think that they would want to bring in another starter just for insurance, but I don't think they're going to be able to.
Let me ask you this. It's Mike Wilner, Elliot Friedman, and Jeff Blair, by the way, in primetime. What do you think is going to happen with Stroman? I know we need to see him pitch.
We were talking about that.
Let's assume that everything goes according to plan and Marcus Stroman, when he's called up here, is ready to do whatever they want him to do. Where do you see that going? Because it's a fascinating story, and it's got implications for the postseason roster.
Sure.
There are a lot of implications here.
I was really hoping, by the way, to go down to a start in Buffalo.
Yeah,
but,
you got to go to Pawtucket.
But also, it's on a day where I think I have to work, so thanks a lot, Alex.
Labor Day, you got to work?
No, isn't he pitching the 7th?
Yeah, isn't that Labor Day?
Yeah, we got to work that day.
Ah.
Yeah, I think there's something going on hockey-wise that day.
Well, don't
thanks,
think,
Alex.
Thank Alex. Yeah. Thank Gary Bettman for making hockey happen on Labor Day. Stroman's pitching September 7th, so that means he could start in New York against the Yankees on September 12th, and mm-hmm. that would really be incredible.
Do you think they're really going to start him?
I think if he pitches well Friday, if he pitches well on the 2nd, if he pitches well on the 7th, why not? What do you got to lose? He can take Drew Hutchison's spot, and Hutch has been pretty rough on the road, but Hutchison is going to have... Two starts between now and then.
Yeah,
great point.
So if he pitches as well there,
Hutch
as he
starts
did in
Saturday,
last
right? Hutch, yep. or Saturday's yeah, yeah. game against
Saturday
Detroit,
and then Friday.
Friday,
and I can't remember who's in there. Baltimore, they have an off
yes.
day Thursday.
Yeah, it's Baltimore. So,
Baltimore 4th. So
Detroit,
sixth.
Cleveland, Baltimore.
Yeah, so you want him starting against Baltimore because he eats them up anyway.
So
if he has 4 good starts, then maybe Stroman doesn't move into the rotation. But I think that the temptation will be so strong
mm-hmm.
to use him. And if you start him there, he gets 5 starts between then and the end of the season, and boom, all of a sudden, if he's Marcus Stroman, if he's the guy in the 20 starts last year and the 5 mm-hmm. this year, then he's on your playoff roster, and he may be your number 2 pitcher in the playoff.
Well, I would think the other.
Boy, that I mean, just to envision that scenario playing.
That's insane.
Well,
that is insane.
I mean, I'll say this. We all love Mark Burley, and we all love Ari Dickey, but it's entirely possible that Stroman slots in, maybe, again, we'll wait and see, maybe slots in for the odd Burley start as well or something like that. It's just going to depend.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to want to give Estrada a breather at some point. Yeah. You want to maybe give Burley a breather.
Estrada's
got to
be
point.
Getting towards an innings.
I don't think he has a limit. I mean, he pitched
100. No, but I mean, is he in an innings high yet?
He might be. 150, I think, is his career high for innings pitched.
All right.
And he's probably getting around there with the six today.
Although he still looked pretty
He looked great
today. He was really good today. Yeah.
So,
And you know what? You thought
150 innings is his career high.
You thought he might be wiped out after that first inning.
129.
Is it 129
now? 129. With the six today? Career high.
What's that?
With the six today's, he might be at 135.
135, yeah.
The last 4 years in the major leagues, 131, 128, 151, and now 135.
How many starts has he made this year?
He's made, this was his 21st, which is two away from his career high.
Yeah.
His 150 inning last year was with 39 appearances, 18 of them starts.
Right. Mm-hmm. His
and then he worked out of the bullpen the last 3 months of last season, and he was incredible. Yeah. So he, you know, they're going to take the opportunity to give him a breather, mm-hmm. right? They've just, this road trip, they had three off days on, but they only have two off days between now and like September 24th. So there will be places to pop Stroman in mm-hmm. if they don't want to use him as a regular starter. Or if they do, then there'll be places to pop Hutchison in. And we'll see how it breaks down.
Yeah, it's again, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but boy, it's a fascinating discussion if you get into the postseason.
Price, Dickey, Stroman, Burley is pretty good four in a playoff series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plan the parade.
No, but you know what?
It is pretty good.
Tell you what, and if you do the numbers, I'm not gonna. It's pretty hard for these guys. Not. I don't want to say this very loud.
It's not true though. Because, I mean, how many times has the best team in baseball actually won the World Series in this
year? I was going to say it's pretty hard for these guys not to make the playoffs, yeah. Don't you think?
I'll say it even quieter than you. It's going to be pretty hard for them not to win the division.
Okay. It's going to be pretty hard not to win.
Well, how many games they still have with the Yankees?
Seven.
They could still lose the division.
They're 8-4 against the Yankees. Yeah, but and they're still, better than the Yankees.
Yeah, they're better, but, you know.
Oh, they could still lose the division.
The Yankees just came in here 2 weeks ago, won two out of three, and pitched them great.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's not get – I mean, I understand why everybody's excited.
Yeah,
it's impossible not to be excited.
Not make the playoffs now I think would be a pretty monumental collapse.
Yeah.
Especially with what they just did to the Rangers and the Angels.
Yeah. But I will say –
but to not win the division, that's nowhere near as big a collapse.
I will say I was really impressed with how Ivan Nova and Tanaka attacked the Blue Jays.
Even the kid who pitched
Severino
Sunday.
Was really good.
He was really good.
Really good. But I still think that the Blue Jays are better enough than the Yankees are that they'll, I mean, they've made up 9.5 games in mm-hmm. the division in the last month.
Yep.
And the other thing that's happened too is very quietly because we've been talking about the Yankees, but mm-hmm. Baltimore and Tampa have kind of faded.
Yeah.
And Adam Jones got hurt today.
That's right. And that could be a big thing.
That's a big one.
Don't know what the injury is and what the extent of it is, but he hit the wall in the third and came out of the game. They're 7.5 games out in Baltimore behind the Jays.
And it just seemed like the other day they were two and a half games behind the Jays.
What a 5-game losing streak will do when the other team's winning 20 out of 25.
Well, who was it? The Nationals had a big week last week. They went like, 5-2 and they lost half a game?
Yeah.
It's crazy what's going on there.
Ripken going to be managing the Nationals next year?
Cal Ripken managing the Nationals?
There was a rumor about him.
How can the Orioles let that happen? Make him president of the Orioles before you let him go manage.
The story this week that said he wanted to manage, and I think it got kind of – he even let it slip that Rizzo had talked to him before they hired Matt Williams. Yeah. And I read it. It's not like I'm breaking this story.
Wait a minute. What do you think this is? Hockey Night in Canada?
Yeah. Is that Barry Larkin might be managing the Reds.
That would not surprise me.
They'll tell you what. There's
that he's been reaching out to other players to ask them if they're interested in coaching with them?
I know he's talked to Delino DeShields about joining his staff.
Really?
Delino DeShields is their AAA manager. There has been some discussion with him about joining.
That's the way of the world now. Look, Craig Counsell, Robin Ventura, Mike Matheny, all these guys, right from the dugout. Matt Williams, though that didn't work especially well. Yeah. But from the field to the dugout, there you go.
We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we continue our Blue Jays discussion with Mr. Mike Wilner. It's Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
playing a little Duran Duran for Mike Wilner.
It's a fine tune. Not where I would have gone Duran Duran wise, but that's all right.
Where
it's
would good, you have gone Duran Duran wise?
There's a whole bunch.
Planet Earth, that's
Planet
a little.
Earth's a good one. Save a Prayer's a good one. Cracks in the Pavement's a good one. New Moon on Monday. Lots of good Duran Duran.
New Moon on Monday probably be where I would,
yeah?
I would go.
In Toronto, you have to do the Reflex because the concert was.
That was the video, right?
Filmed here. I was at that.
Well,
concert.
That's the one where the fake water
yes.
comes out?
Yeah. Like I said,
84 at the Garden.
First concert I ever went to was
really?
That one.
Yep. Really?
By the way, it's Elliot Friedman, Jeff Blair, and Mike Wilner in Primetime Sports. First concert I ever went to was the Eagles, Steve Miller Band, and Jesse Winchester.
Wow.
That's a little, that edges out Duran Duran and the Pale.
Mine was the
it was
Cars.
An outdoor concert.
I love the Cars.
Cars at the X.
That'd be pretty good.
It was pretty good.
I saw Alice Cooper one time with broken ribs. Fell off the stage in Edmonton.
I thought that was the opening act, broken ribs.
Fell off the stage in Edmonton, came back to Winnipeg, sang, did a show 2 days later with three broken ribs. He was god-awful.
That's like Dave Grohl, who broke his leg in a concert a month or two ago and continued to play.
Wow. Pretty impressive.
Tough, man.
You got to grind it out.
These are athletes up there.
That's right.
Got to grind it out. Now what? Dylan's got some smart-ass comments.
Dylan's got some muse.
I'm not going. Dylan wanted to know if I was going to go to Foghat. Foghat's at the X. I don't know. I can't.
Come on, Jeffrey.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I don't know.
No, it's your vintage. It's right in your wheelhouse musically.
It is. I know it is. And it's the whole dazed and confused thing and the secondary high, I'm sure, would be entirely appropriate there. 80s. They want me to tell you my 80s story. You've never heard the Knack story, have you?
No, the Knack, My Sharona, the Knack?
Yeah. Well, this is, and I'm going to mention this because Elliot Price was involved. And I always call Friedman Elliot Price at least once. He's a broadcaster in Montreal. We went to see, I think it was Elliot, went to see the Knack in Philadelphia. They played My Sharona three times. They opened the show with My Sharona. They played it halfway through, and the encore was My Sharona.
I think I would have done the same thing if I was.
You know
that.
Who did that? When remember James Brown, that had Living in America, which was big in Rocky IV?
Yeah.
He was doing concerts where he was playing that song three times a night. I saw an interview where
and
he
it's not like
it.
He doesn't have a playlist.
No, I know. But he said it was crazy. People couldn't get enough of it, so he was playing three times a night.
All right, enough talk about concerts.
You're not going to finish your Knack story?
That was the whole story. No, it was the whole story. I was asked to tell it. I didn't want to oversell it. I was asked to tell the Knack story. We were talking about the Blue Jays, were we?
Yeah, we were.
I have
They're good.
They're very good. We did Marcus Stroman, check. Oh, I know what we'll do.
How many Jays are going to win awards besides Donaldson? Anybody? Is Osuna going to win Rookie of the Year?
No.
No chance?
No chance.
He'll finish second,
yeah.
I think.
Carlos Correa's got to be.
I mean, it's early still. But yeah, the Carlos Correa groundswell is through the roof. Unless he gets hurt.
And the Astros have the best record in the league, right?
I think A.J. Hinch is probably the manager of the year for John Gibbons.
Let's play a game here. What are the things, because we have Will
Cy Young, maybe.
Do you want me to pretend, since you didn't do Jays Talk today, do you want me to pretend I'm an angry Jays Talk caller?
Oh, why don't you do that? Go ahead.
Okay,
Elliot from Thornhill?
No, I live in North York. Just talk for a second. I want to plan something.
We have to talk amongst ourselves.
We have to talk amongst ourselves. Well, I was going to say, now that we have you here, 1 to 3, the list of things that still keep Blue Jays fans up at night. 1 to 3, the list of things that still keep Blue Jays fans up at night, from your opinion.
Troy Tulowitzki leading off.
Oh, of course, yeah. Okay.
Russ Martin not being on the disabled list.
Right.
And 3.
Mark Burley?
No. So much Ben Rivera. Maybe Cliff Pennington. I haven't heard a Danny Valencia complaint in a while, so we can move off of that. But
all right.
What are people complaining about with Cliff Pennington?
That he's here. That why is he playing?
Instead of Munenori.
Instead of Ryan Gomes.
Ryan Gomes
playing every day.
Wow.
Okay.
Again, like Revere, Cliff Pennington hasn't made a great first impression on Blue Jays.
He's Cliff
fans.
Pennington.
Yeah.
Just stand out and catch the ball. That's all I need you to do. I don't care.
Well, look, Goins got a hit against the lefty.
You just gave me some great ammunition for my fake.
Okay, are we ready? Are we ready? Yeah, just hang on. We got to set this up.
Okay.
Do we have like a fake telephone
just
ring
go
thing?
And go in the next room and phone.
Pretend I'm there.
All right, never mind. So this is, I'll let you do it. Wilner, you take over.
All right, sure. Why not? And I'll put the headset on just to pretend like he's on the phone. Elliot in North York. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. First time caller, long time listener.
You can't be a Jays Talk caller unless you ask me how I am.
How are you, Mike?
I'm all right, thank you.
Mike, you know, I've been aggravated listening to you for years, but this is the first time I've had the courage to actually call in. Pennington. Why is he even on the roster?
Yeah,
why does Gibbons such a bad manager? Why does he play this guy?
Because he's better than Ryan Goins is against.
Well, look what he did. No. Don't even talk about that. Like, look what he did today, okay? How many double plays did he hit into?
He didn't hit into any double plays.
Yes, he did.
Pennington?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
He lined out and Revere got picked off first.
Oh, that's right. That doesn't count.
You don't even know what happened in the game?
I'm thinking about ground ball. Cliff Pennington.
He cut him off.
He get dumped. Dylan dumped him. Look, Cliff Pennington.
You don't even know what happened in the game, Wilner.
Had a great 0-for-2 with a walk. I don't consider that hitting into a double play. Revere was stealing. He didn't look back at the ball. Pennington hit a beautiful line drive to right field. And one of two really, really nice balls that Pennington hit today, by the way, with his walk. Good job by Cliff Pennington.
Why did Gibbons put Hendricks in? Why didn't he let Estrada pitch the seventh inning?
See, now callers can't cut me off on Jay's Talk because I got Dylan Brown and Alex Machinsky and Derek Brandeo making sure you pot them down after you ask the question. So ask your question and then I'll answer.
Why did he take, why didn't Estrada come in the seventh? Why did he pitch Hendricks? Ricketts.
Remember Chad Ricketts? Because it was really hot in Texas. Gallardo didn't even make it through six innings. Estrada went six. He was great. He was done.
How come Revere's not hitting leadoff?
Because Ben Revere shouldn't be hitting leadoff.
Why not?
You know what?
He steals bases.
If you want to talk about it, I know you're being a Jays
Talk caller. Off come the headphones. Off come the headphones. I love
it. It's double Elliot. I have
no problem with Tulowitzki hitting leadoff personally.
Yeah.
I'm just being a caller.
I know a lot of people think, you know, like you have this little slap hitter with speed,
yeah,
and that's where they belong in the leadoff spot. But I think, honestly, it's revolutionary what the Blue Jays are doing, and they should be. And that was
John
that was
Gibbons
very
is,
good.
John for Gibbons my is call. Lennon.
Thanks for calling. But yeah, it's revolutionary. It is. And people should be praising John Gibbons or Alex Anthopoulos, whoever's idea it was, for being, I don't want to say outside the box enough, but smart enough to make that decision. And I get why people are so upset with Revere, and I get why people think that leading off is in Troy Tulowitzki's head, but it's just, I mean, it's such a great idea to have him at the top.
You know, I remember as a kid. I remember as a kid. You remember who used to lead off for the Angels when we were?
Brian Downing.
Yeah.
Big fat guy, walked a lot, couldn't run. It was perfect.
And I saw an interview with him once where they asked him, and Gene Mock was the manager, and they asked him about it. He goes, I hate it. And they went to Gene Mock, and he says he gets on base.
Yeah.
Wasn't Al Simmons?
I don't see the.
Was. Sizemore, somebody else let off, didn't they? The catcher. No. I'm thinking of a catcher.
Jason Kendall.
He let off for a bit.
But I'm also thinking St. Louis. I want to say Ted Simmons.
Ted Simmons? I don't
think so. Did he ever lead off?
Maybe not.
Okay. I don't think so. I could be wrong. But they always had
Vince
you're right.
Coleman Jason Kendall. Yeah,
when they won the World Series, it was Lonnie Smith, remember, in 82? He was the leadoff hitter.
Yeah. And he was the guy who got on base,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. But, yeah, get on base. That's the job of the leadoff man. And don't forget, you get that extra at bat, right? Troy Tulowitzki ended the game today.
Mm-hmm.
But Troy Tulowitzki's a guy you want hitting there in that big situation. Elliot's got a gleam in his eye.
I was thinking of something else, but I've decided I'm not going to be the angry Jays fan anymore.
Well, you can go ahead and do it.
No, is there
one more?
No, I'll pass. Thanks.
I was going to throw out my...
Why isn't Alex Anthopoulos trying to get this guy?
Why is he getting James Shields?
I thought about
like Blair glaring at me too.
I thought about this today. I have no idea why, but I did. Sportsnet.ca is doing this, the oral history of the 92 Blue Jays.
Very
it's a
cool.
6-part series. It's very cool. It's available on Sportsnet.ca. Stars of the first Blue Jays World Series winning team, remember, in 1992 season. I'd like to get some of those guys together and ask them what it would have been like if Twitter had been around in 1992. What do you think Blue Jays fans would have been worrying about in Twitter in 1992?
Look, I remember a lot of Blue Jays talk.
What was the concern in 92?
Listening to McCowan when he was hosting back then, and he was great at it. And I remember I used to walk back from whatever I was doing and look into the broadcast booth and see him sitting there with his feet up and just
did he wave at you?
he was, he didn't even know who I was back then.
So it's like now.
It's kind of like now. But people would call in and they would complain about tactical moves.
Mm-hmm.
They would complain about a pinch hit here, reliever usage there before the eighth and ninth. There were a lot of things. People would
Cito used to get ripped all the time
back then. All the time.
He got ripped a lot, you know, and you know, Bob was one of his biggest critics, no question about it. You know, I also, Jeff, don't forget back then, they lost a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's like, right. They had that hump to get over.
There was always a foreboding that how were they going to lose?
Right. This was always a team that was never good enough.
They were good enough to break your heart.
The foreboding probably didn't go away until Robbie Alomar hit hit the home run.
Absolutely.
That's why
a lot of people think it's the biggest homer in Blue Jays history.
Like, obviously, I mean, Carter, but I look at just because of what they had to beat to get there. And Oakland was in their heads because if you remember the year before, Ricky Henderson was MVP of the ALCS.
In 89.
And he walked and ended up on third. Like, you know,
he destroyed them.
And remember when Cito and Eckersley got into it in that series and Eckersley taunted them pretty good? I agree. I think, obviously Carter's home run is something else. But in terms of where the franchise was going, I think Alomar's homer was the biggest.
Pat Gillick and Beeston will both tell you that Eckersley's home run or that Alomar's home run was bigger.
There are three home runs that are in the pantheon of all-time Blue Jays homers. The homer by Alomar, the homer by Joe Carter, and the home run by Ed Sprague in Game 2 in 92.
Yeah, that underrated, no question. Yeah. People forget
that. Because
if he
doesn't hit that and they lose that game, they're down 2-0, coming home. Mm-hmm. That makes things really, really, really tough.
Yeah, I agree with you. People forget that Sprague homer.
Well, it's kind of neat that we had a lengthy baseball talk because I made mention of this in the first hour of the show, the second hour of the show. I'm sorry, and I know now that we've got some of the Nationals with us, and I wanted to just extend my condolences to the family of Ian McDonald, who. A longtime baseball writer with the Montreal Gazette, who passed away recently at the age of 87. He was, I told the story a little bit in the previous hour, when I joined the Montreal Gazette to cover baseball, it kind of pushed Ian a bit out of the picture a little bit. And I know it really pissed him off, but you know what? He treated me with an awful lot of respect. And I know that he'd sit there beside me and he'd look at me and go, this guy doesn't know the first thing about baseball, which is true because I hadn't covered baseball before. He was just an absolute prince of a man. And for those of us who were lucky enough to work with him and lucky enough to spend some time with him, he was a person who embodied in a lot of ways the very, 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 very best qualities of our business. And he absolutely, absolutely loved baseball. And I know that there'll be a lot of people in Montreal tonight. I'm thinking of people like Mike Farber. I'm thinking of people like Pat Hickey, people at the Montreal Gazette in particular, who will have a real hole in their heart tonight because of Ian's loss, the loss of Ian. So I just want to extend my condolences to Ian's family, to the people at the Montreal Gazette, and to all his friends in the Canadian baseball community. There are a lot of them. I know on Twitter, Jerry Fraley today on Twitter, a longtime writer covering the Texas Rangers, tweeted out his condolences. So if you're a baseball fan, Google Ian's name, take a look at some of the stuff that he wrote. And if you know Ian at all or an acquaintance of his, again, please accept my condolences. And I think I can speak for all of us. I don't know. You may have met Ian. I don't know.
I never had the pleasure. No.
But terrific writer, great man, and passed away at the age of 87. So,
very well said, Jeff.
Thank you. That's it for me, for Elliot Friedman and Mike Wilner, and all the folks here at Primetime Sports. It's Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. The Roundtable will be here. Have a great night, everybody.